Hello, everyone. Welcome again to another edition of Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hello, John.
Hello, Alan.
Hello, Devin.
Hello, guys.
And we have a special guest. I'm very excited about this special guest tonight. We have a special guest, Austin Horton from 1280 The Zone, best known as producer of The Big Show, right?
That is unfortunately correct. Or fortunately, depending on who you ask. Yeah. How are you guys?
We're good. Welcome to the show.
It only took me, 7 years of radio to get invited to the podcast, so I've made it now.
Wow. You consider
we're very picky.
You consider it made it when you make it on our show. We'll take that as we'll take that as an honored
compliment. It's a
Chappie
winning podcast. Good. What do you expect?
Yeah, this is true. This is true. So we have a lot to talk about tonight, but I want to start the show off by talking about you a little bit, Austin.
I usually don't like to talk about myself, but okay.
So where are you from?
Where are you from?
I grew up in Layton, or as us locals say, Layton. Utah.
Yes.
Born and raised there. Actually, fourth great grandpa founded Layton, Christopher Layton. And we found in his journal that he actually bemoaned someone pronouncing the T, because he was from England and a part of England where they didn't pronounce the T's, and it's Layton. And so I like to point that out to anyone that's like, it's Layton. I'm like, actually, you know what? It's Layton.
I'm glad we've cleared that up, because I will no longer try and emphasize Layton. It will be from now on Layton. And anybody that wants to give me crap, my father-in-law, being one of them, I'm just going to tell him, nope, it's Layton. That's how it was from the beginning. That's how it is.
I will fight you to the death on this. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I never thought before about the Cockney influence on the Utah accent, but it all makes sense now.
Yeah, it's something that you don't really think of, and until a few years ago, when we were doing some family research, whatever, we all thought, oh, it's Layton, but we are Utahns, so we say Layton. And then we found a little note in one of his journals that was like, yeah, we pronounce it Layton, and it had like a little the UN. It was pretty funny.
So before we get into a little bit of where you're at now and where you got how you got there, I just want to share a little bit of a thought here. We were talking right before we got on. I live in Layton now. My daughter is a junior at Layton High School. You're a Lancer, right?
That's right.
Okay.
True blue.
So
through and through.
Interesting enough, our paths have crossed a bit over the years. Now you've run into me a couple of times at my church on Sundays when you've come.
Right. Uh-huh.
So I live in the neighborhoods with kids that I knew that went to high school with you. In fact, I taught some of them in church when they were in high school. So we have.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not. In fact, I work with somebody now who went to high school with you. His name is Josh Reed.
Oh, I know Josh.
So,
Josh.
I know, and Josh, and we've talked about other people that that I live on a street with some people that you went to high school with as well. Corianne, I don't know if you remember Corianne.
Do I remember Corianne? Of course, I should have probably married Corianne about 10 years ago, but I was too afraid. And not to say that I don't enjoy my marriage now, that's not what I'm getting at. But she and I have a really good history, and she's like my sister from another family. So I love Corianne.
So she and her
twin brother Casey.
Yep. I'm good friends with them. We live just down the street from their mom, actually. So I live right there. So
great people.
So I mean, a little back history here. I've Austin and I have more or less crossed each other's paths more than once in life over the last 10, 15 years. So, Devin, you're making weird looks. Go ahead.
You're no the worst for it. So
no, not at all. Not at all. Go ahead, Devin.
Well, Austin and I have crossed paths too.
Oh, and you're about to tell where, aren't you?
On the interwebs.
Oh boy.
the corner. It was the corner of Twitter and Facebook, I believe.
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's move on. Let's get it. How did you get to where you're at today? As you're producer of The Big Show, how did you Tell us a little bit of the story about how you got where you're at today.
Okay. So when I was little, my dad for like 21 years was a cop in Davis County. And to supplement that income, because I know it's weird, but our safety officials and teachers don't get paid enough. He had another job in the afternoons and evenings, and it required him driving around all different parts of the area. And so he would take us with him at times so that we could spend time with our dad. And he and I would listen to Locked On Sports, which was, of course, hosted by David Locke forever and ever. In fact, one time we entered some contest and won a treadmill or a health rider or something from Locked On Sports when I was like 8 or 9. And so that's when I started my love of radio, and it continued from then. I've always been a fan of radio, no matter what it was, especially like, and here's a plug for a competing station, but Radio From Hell, X96, they're like the penultimate in this area, in my opinion.
Right.
They are geniuses when it comes to radio and how to do it. And then I went to junior high and high school, did the choir thing, did the drama thing, some sports here and there. But really focused a lot on production and drama and theater, and went off on my mission, came back, went to college, and dropped out of college, as some people tend to do. And when I dropped out of college, I needed a job. And so I started delivering flowers for a local flower company. And I would listen in my flower van from 7 in the morning to 8 p.m., 9 p.m. at night. Most days, and just listen to the radio, sports radio all day. And after about a year of doing that, I was like, you know what? I think I found what I want to do. If I can't play sports for a living, or if I'm not going to be a famous Hollywood actor or a stand-up comedian, why don't I go get paid to watch and talk about sports? So I moved back to Utah County and enrolled at Utah Valley University, and it with the sole idea of I'm going to find my way into broadcast journalism and see what this is about, only to come to find out they didn't have a radio program at the time. And so I was like, oh, well, I don't know what's going to come from this. But a few days later, Locked On Sports was offering a softball team to its listeners. And so I signed up for the softball team, and I went through the whole season of softball with them, and I begged them, for an internship. And they're like, well, we don't have a relationship with Utah Valley. There's no radio program there. And I was like, I don't care. I'll get it taken care of. If I have to say that it's an internship for biology, I will, you know, I need to get my foot in the door. So I did the internship. Funny enough, the professor that was in charge of that internship got pregnant midway through the semester and like disappeared. And come grade time, I failed the internship. By then I had been hired at the radio station on part-time work. And so I failed the internship, but I was the first one to go through UVU and like get a job from the radio broadcast internship that I had created. And so they like did this whole profile on me and put my face up on the website and stuff. But I always thought it was ironic that they were making me like the poster child and I had failed the internship. but from there, that was 7 years ago and 7 years, 4 months ago. And from there, I just worked my way up. A lot of good fortune coupled with a lot of hard work and dedication, and here I am today making just over the minimum wage. It's living the dream. It's awesome. Yeah.
Well, and for those who don't listen, you really miss out on the big show. Okay. I don't get a chance to listen to it all the way through. And my work day consists of 8:30 in the morning till 6 at night. So if I catch the big show, it's on rewind. And if I catch any of the morning stuff, it's on my way to work in the morning. And so it's because I can't listen at work at all. But I love the work you do on the big show. It's no secret that you put together a heck of a show. So I just that. Everybody who doesn't get a chance to listen to it really should, because man, you're great. And
appreciate that. Yeah.
So, and then not only the big show, but how long ago did you guys start the Movie Zone?
Okay. So the Movie Zone is kind of a weird deal how that came about. You may or may not know that KJazz TV was owned, of course, by the Jazz, the Millers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when they went to this system of having a board of governors, they all looked at it from a non-emotional standpoint and said, this is not financially a good thing for this company. And so the Miller family decided to approve the sale of KJazz. Well, one of the few shows that was making a profit on KJazz was something called The Movie Show.
I remember it.
And unfortunately, that went away with KJazz going away. And so they approached the radio station, and said, hey, we want to see if you're interested in transitioning this from a TV show to a radio show and see if we can keep the revenue stream up that way. And Scott Gerard, the program director, said, you know, I have a guy that's pretty thirsty to get some more host work under his belt. So let's see if he's interested. And luckily that guy passed and he asked me to do it. So no, I'm just kidding. So that's how that came about. And my buddy, Adrian Leiser, who is my co-host on the Saturday show as well.
Yep.
He knows a lot more. He spends a lot more time watching movies than I do and knows a lot more about that realm of things. And so I asked him to co-host with me. And we did. We started that last June, June of 16.
Sounds about right.
We've done a show every week since then.
Well, and you guys are creative, too, in the things that you do. I laugh when I hear some of the things you guys do, like I don't even remember what you call it, but when you're reviewing – or not reviewing, but talking about what's coming out or what's out in the theater, and you make up that phone call.
The movie's own phone.
Yes, yeah. The movie's own phone. It's hilarious, but it's good.
Yeah, thanks to Lloyd Cole for lending his voice to us. Now, I'm intimidated talking about the movie's own because there's an actual legitimate film critic who's done this for years and years on this podcast, in John English.
Yes, there is.
And I feel like I should be asking him how to do the movie show.
Well, and you know what? That'll be our final segment of the show because we're going to get in and talk movies at that point in time.
Okay.
Because I want to, but John, do you have anything else you want to ask him before we jump into our main topics?
Well, two things, plug when people can catch the Movie Zone.
I appreciate that. Movie Zone runs, Thursdays at 7 PM, Saturdays at 4 PM and Sundays at 8 in the morning on 1280 AM and or 97.5 FM The Zone.
Okay.
And then, of course, if you don't mind the Saturday show, we just got awarded a third hour. And we do that from 1 until 4 every
nice.
Saturday afternoon, 1 until 4 on The Zone.
I did not know about that third hour. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's cool. Huh?
Cool.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
What was your other question, Don?
My other question was going to be, which 1280 personality is most different off mic than he is on?
Let's see. You're gonna get me in trouble, but
none of them listen to us. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I will truly
all the
say
producers
this.
Do, so be careful.
Yeah, that's true.
everyone on the station really believes everything they say and or write. But some of them do put on like this character or this caricature kind of thing. When that mic light goes on, they're a different personality than their personality is when the mic is off. Patrick Kinahan is about as quiet of a guy as you'll come across. Docile, easygoing, gets along with everybody in any situation, easy to talk to, but really doesn't go out of his way to make the spot or to be in the spotlight. But once that radio light goes on, he's PK, and that light is on for him and everyone's tuning in to listen to him, you know? And so mm-hmm. I would say, Patrick Kinahan probably that, would be my answer there.
That sheds light on how he is on Sunday nights on Two News too. That's funny.
Yeah.
So, I mean, wow.
It's really funny to watch him on TV, knowing his radio side too, because what you get on the TV is what is going on in the radio station in the studio as well.
Wow.
It's the same kind of shtick.
Well, awesome. And John mentions that the producers list, you're not the only producer we've had on before. We've had Ajay on before.
Oh, well, you said producers. So, That would mean that I produce something of worth. No, AJ is. I have never known a thirstier, more hungry, bigger hustler than AJ Salveson. He deserves everything that comes his way and then some.
Well, and he's a kidder too. I don't know if he's that way in real life, but he when he was on our show, he was a kidder. He would totally just jab at us a lot. He was one of our.
We kind of get worried about what he might say on the air at times because he's just all about making whatever joke is there in front of him. But he's learning, and we're very lucky to have him as a tool there at the station. He's
sweet.
Great.
Well, and my last thought is another good friend that's a producer is Jake. Jake's a good guy too, and he you know, you mentioned PK. Jake has to work with PK and DJ in the mornings too, and I'm sure that's quite a fun project for him.
Yeah, Jake Hatch, similar path to mine. Worked his way up from a part-time internship, and he has a soccer podcast now that I tease him about because I don't know if any of you are soccer fans, but I think it's one of the worst things you can do with your life. But if that comes from someone who played soccer for 12, 15 years of my life. But if they got rid of ties, I can maybe get on board with the soccer thing. But
and Jay flopping.
Catch, yeah. Hard worker.
And flopping, right?
Yeah, flopping.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then we'd have to get away from watching LeBron too. So I don't know if you want to do that.
Whoa. All right, let's segue in. You bring up LeBron. We'll segue into NBA talk. We're going to start with the Utah Jazz. John, why don't you go ahead and start us off on this?
Well, they are 27-16, good for fifth in the West. They're 11th in offense, first in defense, sixth in net rating. They are on a four-game winning streak, and they also have a chance to take advantage of some unfortunate news from the Clippers. Chris Paul's going to be out for another 6 to 8 weeks. So the fourth seed is looking very possible for them, but at the same time, it sucks for Chris Paul. Yeah.
Well, I Austin's right on. Aw, that's sad, but not really.
I mean, not to go on a tangent about Chris Paul, but Bismack Biyombo and let's say this, Draymond Green did not invent the nut punch or the nut kick. Chris Paul would be the one to look at for that. So. That guy is dirty.
Wait, yeah, well, so, I mean, to put it bluntly, we're not really sad about the Clippers and their scenario because while Chris Paul might have invented that, we also have Blake Griffin, who's very good at flopping. So, you know, we have a duo there that none of us, I think, are all too excited about. In the event that they're both out, the Clippers are going to free fall, are they not?
Yeah, because Blake's not back yet. So
right. So
between him being out,
and I think they have 10 of their next 11 or something like that on the road.
I saw that.
Good luck.
Yeah, and they're not 10 easy ones either. So they've got their work cut out for them. How do you see this playing out, Austin? I mean, fifth in the West. I mean, like John said, they're number one in defense overall and sixth in net rate. How do you? I mean, you get a chance to listen to produce and listen to the guys talk about it every afternoon. Some of the experts that come on. Where do you see the Jazz heading as we go into this second half of the season?
Well, obviously, with the Jazz, it's the first number one thing you have to keep in mind. The biggest caveat in the discussion is injuries, and I see that. We'll probably get around to talking about Rodney Hood's latest bout with the doctors and the health problems. But if the Jazz are able to withstand major injury problems, there's no way that they could, or there's no, it's not a big stretch to think that they aren't going to be the fourth or possibly third string or seed in the West. I do think their true neighborhood, though, is going to be fourth. Possibly fifth spot in the Western Conference. But I don't think that those are too high expectations to reach, not the way they're playing, especially when you got a guy who is supposed to just be, when he signed with the team, everyone thought it was just to bring up Dante Exum along because they were both from Australia and he was Dante's legend. But Joe Ingles is now suddenly the shutdown defender in the NBA. So if everyone's clicking from 1 to 12 as it is right now, I don't see why the Jazz couldn't get home court advantage in the first round.
And especially since division winners doesn't really mean anything, they're going to want to have that home court. And, you know, the way things are going, it looks like the Clippers would be their first round matchup. And
bring it.
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind that matchup at all. So
exciting, man.
You know, and I heard. So I've heard a couple of things. You know, regarding the Jazz, I was listening tonight, and I heard. I heard Spence and Gordon talking about. I think Gordon brought it up, and I think he wrote about this. Mentioned that the Jazz are finding ways to win like we never thought they would before. Down the stretches of games, you can honestly see where they're down 10 or 12 against Orlando, 10 or 12 against Phoenix. All of a sudden, it's like, these guys are going to pull it out. There's never a doubt. In fact, I think Joe Johnson, I remember seeing his postgame last night where he said he looked over at, was it Rodney he was sitting next to on the bench, where he looked over and he and they were talking about being down. And I think he said in the postgame, he says, I looked at him, he says, we're going to win this. We're fine. And he turns around and hits a big three in the end of the game.
Yeah. And to that point, when I was doing some research for the big show today, I came across a stat that last year through 24 games played. All right. So follow me here. So clutch game. So 5 minutes left and the game score is within 5 or 5 points. Either they're leading, trailing, or tied within 5 points. Through 24 of those games played last year, the Jazz were 8-16. And they trailed by an average of 2.5 points in those scenarios. Through 24 such games this season, the Jazz have gone 15-9 and are leading by nearly a full point on average in those situations. And that is the growth that we've been hearing promised, or at least hoped for, the last 3, possibly 4 seasons under this Dennis Lindsay-led regime. And it's finally showing, proving to be true, and everyone that isn't on the inside is now finally getting to see the fruits of those labors. Again, this year, Jazz are 15-9 when they are within 5 points in the final 5 minutes, and that's the second best record in the league through that number of games played.
So I want to ask, how much do you think that is due to having the three veterans that they acquired in the offseason? Because Joe hit a big three the other night, but it's not always that they're contributing. How much are they bleeding over into guys like Gordon Hayward, guys like Rudy Gobert, guys like Rodney Hood, to give them confidence in those situations?
I would assign probably 80 to 90% of this on the veteran leadership that the Jazz went and acquired, mainly and namely George Hill. This last offseason, that guy is, I think it was Craig Bowlerjack who put it this way the other day on the big show. He said he's got a coaching mentality at all times. So when he's in the game, when he's on the bus, when he's on the plane, in the locker room, at practice, when he's getting health treatment, he's got a coaching mentality. And there's been times during that that spell when George Hill was out with the you'll have to remind me. It was a thumb, and then it was something else.
It was the exactly. Sprained toe, wasn't it?
Yeah, the toe issue. That was it. And the sprained or the bruised heel and stuff like that. When he was out, that's the Jazz missed his on-court production, no doubt. But what they truly missed was his on-court leadership. And I think that this turnaround, this growth, you can't discount the hard work that Gordon Hayward has put in and the mature way that Rudy Gobert has faced so much spotlight so quickly. But George Hill, Joe Johnson, and even Boris Diaw, that veteran leadership is so important to a young team who's on the verge of making something special happen. And that's what the Jazz went out and did, was get some veterans that could turn that around for them.
Next, I wanted to go over their upcoming schedule, and this might be a little different considering that Rodney Hood is probably going to miss all these games, but the Jazz are still favored to win them all, and we have road against Dallas, home against Indiana, home against Oklahoma City, and then road against Denver. Both of those are the first two, and then the second two are back-to-back situations. So of those four games, which one do you think the Jazz are most vulnerable?
So let's see, at Dallas, home to Indiana, home to OKC and then at Denver.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to think I'm absolutely crazy here, but it's at Denver.
I am going to agree.
The reason I say that is, let's just start here. This Friday, Dallas Mavericks are going to be on a back-to-back. The Jazz will be on 3 days rest. I think the Mavericks are dead last in points per game and fourth in points allowed. So good defense and awful offense, whereas the Jazz are, we all know, the first defense in the league right now. And Dirk Nowitzki, yeah, the last five games, he's turned it on a little bit. But this season, 13.5 points a game, 40% from the field. Not going to be the Mavericks in Dallas on Friday. Then you have the Pacers in Salt Lake. They will also be on road back-to-backs that night. And, of course, it brings us back to the Paul George versus Gordon Hayward conversation. If you look at their stats this season, they're almost identical. Gordon shooting a few percentage points better than George Hill, Paul George. But that's really all Indiana has right now. And so I think that the Jazz getting Indiana at home in Salt Lake bodes well for Utah there. Oklahoma City, you never can tell. Russell Westbrook is going to put on a show. He's got 30 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists a game this season, and he's going to have that and then some probably against the Utah Jazz. Yes, I know the Jazz, I just said, are the top defense in the league, but Russell Westbrook, sorry, Mark Cuban, is a superstar. And it's time for everyone to start respecting him that way. Also, they're going to be on 4 days of rest. They play Golden State this Wednesday, and then they're off until for 4 days until they play the Jazz. So it might be Thunder, but I give that to the Jazz because it's in Vivint Smart Home Arena. That brings us to the fourth game at Denver. I don't see the Jazz going 4-0 in these games, especially if they have some injuries like Rodney Hood. And Denver just seems to be the proverbial trap game, going a little higher to altitude, which doesn't make that big of a difference from Salt Lake to Denver. But that Pepsi Center can be a tough place to win on the road, especially when you're tired after playing a guy like Russell Westbrook. And so I would say that I think they're going to beat Dallas, the Pacers, and the Thunder. And then the one I would watch out for is that proverbial trap game at Denver.
Devin?
I think you're right. And honestly, that's where I would point. But one of the things, John, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're talking 4 games and 5 nights, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Fatigue has to set in a little bit at some point. And you think about OKC, you know, that's a game that I feel like they're going to run it late. It's going to be one of those where there's a lot of energy. It's probably going to come down to the last 5 minutes, and you're just going to have a little bit of a hangover, I think, when you arrive in Denver. So that's absolutely the one that I would be most concerned about, I think.
And that said, the Jazz could be, with that trap game in mind, could end up going 2-2 in this stretch too, because that OKC game while at home is no gimme by any stretch of the imagination. And not, I mean, you already talked about the value of Westbrook, but also talk about the Jazz's struggles of late against guards. And that game has huge written all over it. I mean, it's big because of the playoff race and can separate these two teams. Right now they're separated by a game. That could change the landscape entirely if the Jazz win it or OKC wins it. But then you bring into town a dynamic point guard, and the Jazz have struggled. Jazz struggled with Bledsoe last night. They've struggled with, and I'm trying to go back and remember.
Isaiah Thomas lit him up. Elfrid Payton.
Yeah. So I mean, Payton. And so you have in these four games, the best point guard of these four teams is Westbrook. Obviously, that game, you know, 2-2 is not out of the realm of possibilities in this stretch of four as well.
Yeah, and then we talk about the Jazz with their eyes on the fourth seed, and the Thunder, you just mentioned, are a game back of Utah, and you've got to be kidding yourself if you think Russell Westbrook isn't wanting everything this season, not yep. just because it's a contract year for him or coming up on one, but Kevin Durant embarrassed him by leaving Oklahoma City, and then the whole media storm that followed, do they like each other? Did they ever like each other? Russell Westbrook is quickly becoming, in everyone's eyes, he was the sane one in that relationship, and he is still continuing to try and prove that to everyone, and he would love nothing more than to walk away from Salt Lake City having just beaten the team that everyone's talking about possibly moving up to the fourth or third seed.
He has MVP in his sights. He has making the playoffs without Durant in his sights. You're right. I mean, there's so much for him to work for, and the first guy to average a triple-double since, what, Michael Jordan or before? I mean, he's having it. We talked about this before, whether he could sustain it, and I never thought he could, and here he is still sustaining it. The guy is absolutely out of his mind.
Yeah. Russell Westbrook.
One thing to keep in mind, though, they're 5-5 over their last 10. They've been having incredible games from him, but they as a team haven't been able to close some of these games that they should be able to. Thunder and Grizzlies both lost their last game, and so now Jazz have a 2-game lead over them.
Oh, all right then.
Oh, 2 games. Okay.
Okay. Great.
Well, that's good for the Jazz, and it's interesting to see what Billy Donovan is going to be able to do with Oklahoma City without Kevin Durant there, because eventually, like Alan was just saying, not only did I think, can Westbrook keep this up, I wonder, can the Thunder as a team keep this up? Because I thought they were definitely going to take a step backwards this season, and so far they haven't. But 5-5 in the last 10, maybe it's starting to come off the skids a little bit.
What were you going to say, Devin?
Well, I think sometimes it takes a year for that step back to happen. I know that sounds really odd, but you think about Portland last year.
Yep.
And it was much the same. But here's where I see something common between the Portland situation and the OKC situation. You have star point guards that each have a massive chip on their shoulder. I mean, when you think about it, besides Dame and Russ, who has a bigger chip on their shoulder in the NBA?
Not too many guys. Not anybody, probably.
You know, the only person that I could think of was Paul Millsap.
Right.
But even now, I mean, we'll see what happens. I totally agree with John, though. Oklahoma City has struggled as of late. And you can't say that Russ is being selfish. You know, but the argument is always trying to do too much.
Right.
But if he's getting double-digit assists, what do you want from him? He's scoring the ball. He's passing the ball. It's not like he's just going out every day or every game and trying to drop 50 points.
Right.
He's getting everyone involved. So someone else is going to have to step up, or I don't know what the problem is.
So,
well, their problem is they're 19th in defense. And so that's mm-hmm. where they lose games. Well,
yeah, that's the Enes Kanter effect.
Okay.
Well, and it's actually, there's a slight nod there to Sam Presti for seeing the writing on the wall that Durant may have been leaving, and that he had that Reggie Jackson guy that was not going to take a backseat to Russell Westbrook. The Thunder this year, you're right, Russell Westbrook's doing it all, but not anyone over there is going to tell you he's being selfish because they're winning because of him. So
exactly.
Just a slight nod there to Sam Presti.
And you guys mentioned players with their chips on their shoulder. Our next topic might provide somebody on the Jazz to have a chip on his shoulder the rest of the season, and that is NBA All-Star voting. John? Mm-hmm.
Now, I was hoping that we would have a third round of results, but it's still only the second round of results. The actual All-Stars are going to be named on the 19th.
The voting is done, by the way.
Now, voting is done. Fan vote is 50%, and if the fan vote held, then your West starters would be Steph Curry, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, and Zaza Pachulia.
Boo.
Now, because it's only 50% this year, thank goodness, I think the next one on the list for Western front court, who is Anthony Davis, will be the one who actually starts in that fifth mm-hmm. spot for the West. And then in the East, I might see some changes. East, it would be Kyrie Irving, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Kevin Love. And I could possibly see Wade getting moved down in favor of DeMar DeRozan for that second guard spot.
So back to my point, and I heard this on the radio this morning and tonight, and I'm going to say this again, or on the morning and at lunch, I think it was, but I'm going to agree. We could see Rudy Gobert, if he doesn't make the All-Star team, play with a chip on his shoulder the rest of the season and watch out. That might get ugly. I want to look at the schedule and see if we play Golden State one more time, because if we do, I think Rudy will tell Zaza what he thinks of it.
Yeah, and what number does Rudy Gobert wear? Just to remind me there. That's right. The number that he was picked in the draft, because that guy does not forget and will not forgive. And nope. So the entire NBA has been on notice now since he was drafted. And this season, he's finally getting his due. And he is the top center, at least defensively, and impact player in the Western Conference right now, even with Gordon Hayward playing the way he is. Now, I feel like Gordon would probably get the coach's pick over a guy like Rudy Gobert. But it would not be that bad of a thing for Jazz fans if Rudy Gobert was snubbed for the All-Star game.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it okay that Rudy, we love you. We love you so much, but please, can we see you get snubbed? Because we want this number one defense to take the next step upward even higher. Please.
Yeah. We want shutouts. Ever shutout in the NBA. Yeah.
Do you guys remember the...
For the record, Rudy, I don't want you to get snubbed. I don't know what these guys are.
No, do you guys remember the All-Star game, the rookie sophomore game that he played in a couple of years ago?
Yes.
Do you remember his defense? He was like the only guy out there that was like, we're still playing
and
defense.
And it surprised everybody. Yeah, I remember that.
I think the coaches would love that. We'll have to see. Yeah. There's a lot
If coaches... If anyone's going to put an emphasis and an appreciation on defense, you're right, it's the coaches.
Can you imagine that LeBron goes down for a dunk in the All-Star game completely untouched by everybody, and Rudy comes up to meet him and blocks it?
Yeah. Rudy might revolutionize All-Star play. He might do it. This might change it from dunk fest to, well... Not anymore. Rudy Gobert is going to be in the middle.
They're actually going to have a blocking contest in future years. But since we're talking about that, how much of a concern would injury be if Gobert does go to the All-Star game? Because truth be told, he's probably going to be contesting shots when a lot of these guys are just trying to mess around and have a good time. Is that a concern at all for you, Austin?
Well, I've always been of the opinion, sometimes unpopular, that I'm not a fan of guys playing summer ball. I'm not a fan of guys playing Olympics. I'm not a fan of Rudy going and playing for Team France in the World Championships a couple seasons ago, summers ago, I should say. And I think that injury you saw Rudy go through at the beginning of last season was in response to his legs just being so done. Because like a week after the season ended for the Jazz, he was back on the floor until the season opened again. So I personally, it's fun to see everyone in a jersey, in the Jazz jersey, representing at the All-Star break and see your guys performing in the All-Star game. But I'm so paranoid, especially with the way things have gone injury-wise for this team this year. It's not going to break my heart if there's that many less opportunities for Rudy to come down and knock on wood, sprain an ankle or twist a knee or anything like that. And that goes for everyone. That goes for Gordon Hayward. That goes if they invite Joe Ingles to the three-point competition, although no one's ever been hurt in a three-point competition. But with the way the Jazz luck goes, watch an errant ball cart careen off the court and take him out, you know? So,
but wait,
I'm always of the opinion the less basketball games you can play, the better.
But wait, Joe doesn't move that fast, so... Oh, wait, that cart could be bad news.
Yeah, and I'm being facetious a little bit, but to answer your question, Devin, I'm always a fan of guys sitting out All-Star breaks to give themselves rest and give themselves time to decompress, even though it takes away from the spectacle of the thing a little bit.
John, what else do you have thoughts-wise on the All-Star picks that we think will happen?
I think that's good for this week. And we can pick it up again next week when we know who the starters are and then go into coaches.
Okay.
I wanted to move to listener questions, and we had one question that we need to ask Austin about Bowman's.
Oh boy.
And
yeah. Austin knew this was coming because he was tagged in it. So Brian Child asked for the story about you locking yourself in the freezer at Bowman's, which For those who don't know what Bowman's is, it's the local grocery market in Kaysville.
So I worked at Bowman's in high school and then a little bit after my mission as well. But when I was being trained on back-end store manager, Mike Reed, shout out. He's a nice guy, good friend of the family, and probably listens, to be honest with you. He lives over there by you somewhere,
yes,
Alan.
Yes, he does. In fact, he and Brian Child are brother-in-law, so yes.
Oh, I see. That's how the story has come about to
yes.
Brian.
Yes.
we had this big training about, okay, we're all going to go in the freezer back here in the dairy. We're going to show you all how to unlock it so you can get out and you push this neat little handle that glows in the dark. You'll never get locked in the freezer. It's designed so that it will never lock behind you. You'll never be in danger. Well, my first day alone back there, of course, the door froze shut. It's designed to not freeze shut, and here it is. It's frozen shut. And being a fairly new employee, I'm not really wanting to freak out. I don't want to really cause waves. I'm like, I got to figure out how to get out of here without anyone noticing. I was back there for probably 20 to 25 minutes, and that doesn't sound like a long time, but at freezer temperature,
it's a long time.
And we had like pallets of ice cream wrapped in saran wrap and stuff. And I was like cutting the saran wrap off and wrapping myself up in the saran wrap to try and stay warm and give myself an extra layer. And not to go completely spiritual on you guys, but I, you know, sent a prayer up to God above and said, I don't really want to die at 17 years old in Bowman's freezer. It might put a damper on business, not to mention. And literally, right. So then I finished my prayer and just said, I'm going to give it one more shot of screaming my lungs out. And I screamed as hard and as loud as I possibly could. And the freezer is, you know, in a grocery store, the dairy is in the back usually of the grocery store. Well, Mike Reed's office is in the front of the grocery store and up a flight of stairs and behind two double doors. And he somehow heard the faintest little scream and immediately thought Austin's locked in the freezer and came down and burst the door open. And I was there standing all blue lipped and freezing like the Sanka in the ice cream truck in Cool Runnings. And he likes to tell that story, I guess, because it's got a little touch of everything. Me being stupid, God helping the stupid kid save his life. And then Mike hearing me scream for my life. So it's a good story and a good lesson. Don't ever shut the door behind you if you go in a grocery store freezer.
A little side note to that. You actually, if you ever wanted to play a joke on somebody, and please, when you're in that situation, play the joke, but don't play it for very long. A person on the outside, I don't know if you remember how those latches work, but you can actually jerry-rig them shut so that the person on the inside can push and it won't open.
Oh, geez. That's probably what happened. Mike wanted an object lesson for his Sunday school class, and so he locked me in there.
No.
Now I find out the truth.
I was in the grocery business for 14 years, and somebody did play that joke on me once because I got stuck in the freezer, and the dairy freezer has that same, like you said, it has that little knob you can push, and it opens it, and somebody on the outside decided it would be fun to jerry-rig the door, the latch on the outside shut so I couldn't get out. It was fun. Not really.
So there's my brush with death from the Bowman's grocery store.
All right. Well, Brian, hope you're happy you just got the story. So there you go. That's our only listener questions for the week. Let's go ahead and, Devin, we're going to jump into Devin's quick hits.
All right. Let's keep it brief this week. Let's just talk a little bit of NFL. Before we do, Austin, I need to know, do you have an NFL team? And if so, who is it?
Okay, so I lived, breathed, and died for the 49ers until Steve Young retired. And at that point, I kind of fell out of NFL for a minute. And my one bandwagon guilt is the Tennessee Titans. Because of that Super Bowl against the Rams, I hopped on board. But I haven't really been too vocal about that because, let's be honest, they're terrible. Until this season, they had an all right year. And then Mariota broke his leg. But yeah, it's probably the Titans, I'd say.
Okay. I wanted to ask because I was going to ask it. It looks like the 49ers got a coach. And someone here named Alan is a big 49ers fan. So
indeed I am.
I wanted to get some thoughts. It was Shanahan,
yes,
offensive
it was.
Coordinator from Atlanta, as soon as their season is over.
Yep.
What was he thinking?
is this where we jump in? It's a trap.
Yes,
no,
yes.
I actually like the move. I actually like that York with the Niners is finally doing something right. I have been decrying, whatever it is, Trent Baalke for 2 years now, wishing they would get rid of him, and they did. Chip Kelly, I thought maybe it was unfair to let him go a season too soon, but with him gone, Shanahan's the next best choice, and I actually do like that. It was either the two options were either him or Josh McDaniels. McDaniels is opting to stay. I believe he's opting to stay with the Patriots. Mm-hmm. So that means that the other option is Shanahan. I do like Shanahan, and I'm okay with that.
Okay. John, do you have any input on that?
It seems like a good choice. And also, what might be good news for 49ers is Philip Rivers is trying to force a trade to go to the 49ers.
I don't know if that's a good news or not. I liked Philip Rivers with the Chargers, but I've had plenty of Charger fan friends of mine who have been wanting him gone for a long time and felt like he hasn't been worth it down there. So I don't know.
Really?
There's a few, not all of them. They're kind of split down the middle, but I like Philip Rivers, but he's never been able to win anything. So, I mean, I don't know.
And it makes you
he's
wonder.
He's an upgrade over what you've got going on there, don't you?
Perhaps. Let's see. Well, okay. First of all, I'm gonna make it known. Yes, I have been a Colin Kaepernick supporter since he was drafted. Colin Kaepernick has taken the Niners to the Super Bowl. And yes, as much as people want to say, well, Alex Smith started him off. Yeah, maybe he did. But Colin did take them there and was a play away from winning it, if you will. So and then the very next year, they went to the NFC Championship again. So it's not to say that Kaepernick's bad. Now, granted, the last few years, he's struggled. Is Philip Rivers better than where he's at right now, where Kaepernick's at right now? Yeah. Yeah, he is. I don't know whether he gets the Niners over the next step and the next hump, you know, where they need to be, but yeah.
Or do you use a draft pick and try and get someone who's going to be the next great thing?
Well, I don't know.
You never know if that's going to work out either.
I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Let's jump over and let's talk about the results from last weekend. You had the Patriots winning, big shocker there, and you had Pittsburgh winning at Kansas City. So that will be your AFC Championship game. Austin, who do you like? Now, let me rephrase that. We're talking about the Patriots, so I can't say who do you like. Who right. do you think will win? Yeah.
In a battle of Satan and New England, I choose Satan. So there's your answer for that. The Patriots are going to win, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to be any happy about it. I am so freaking sick of you fill in the blank teams always being in the championship, especially namely the Patriots. I don't like Bill Belichick, not only as a coach, but as a person. And I think Tom Brady is a terrible human being, and everything that's wrong with society. So the Patriots are going to win, especially now that Antonio Brown and the Steelers acted the fool and just kind of gave that. If Rudy Gobert is vindictive, the Patriots wrote the book on that stuff. So they're going to win, and it's going to be a sad day in the Horton household.
I'm assuming my co-hosts here know what happened with the Pittsburgh debacle, right, on Monday. You guys both heard about it, John, Devin?
The streaming of the comments, you mean?
Uh-huh. We have locker room material for the Patriots now. That was a mistake.
Can you imagine if a Jazz player did something like that? They would be cut, and I'm not talking cut off the team. Quinn Snyder would literally cut them with a box knife. Like, that's not something you're going to live through.
So, John, you got anything to add to that? Or we pretty much covered it.
I think we're all in agreement that the Patriots are going to win, aren't we?
The Patriots are going to win. I'll laugh if the Steelers win, but Patriots are going to win.
Okay, so let's talk about the other matchup. Atlanta was able to take down Seattle at home, and the Packers defeated the Cowboys. I believe one of us called that last week, at least one of us.
Who did?
John, do you remember who said that the Packers were going to win?
What are you gonna?
I'm pretty sure it was Alan.
Oh, I must have. Oh, wow.
Nope,
Devin,
nope,
you were
nope,
looking for the
nope,
pat on the
nope,
back. You're
nope,
not going to get it.
No one's going to. No one's going to.
Doing
pat
a lot of
back.
Talking about heart versus head. And...
Anyways, okay.
All right. So Falcons versus.
Versus Packers.
And it's in Atlanta.
In Atlanta. Austin, we'll give you the honor. Who are you taking in this one?
Well, I'm going to let it ride with the Green Bay Packers as much as I truly believe Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback to ever play this side of Joe Montana. I think Aaron Rodgers is legitimately in the top five of quarterbacks to ever play the game. And he's playing better than anyone I've seen in recent time. Now, I don't know how much I buy into the whole cheesy, he drew up that play on his hand in the huddle garbage. I don't know. That seems like Kenny Ortega from Disney original movies made that thing up. But the Packers, I haven't bought into the Falcons all year, and that might be my fault and my demise here, but I'm taking the Packers on the road to get back to the Super Bowl and take on the Pats.
Okay, John?
I'm going with the Packers as well. You know, Atlanta looked really good last week, but the Packers has been all about momentum. And they're showing against Dallas really gave me confidence that they can keep it going.
I'm going to go Packers too. First, I have to point out, did you guys really hear what just happened? Because moments ago, Austin said, Tom Brady is the worst human being on the face of the earth. And then he turned around and he said he could possibly be the best quarterback in the NFL history next to Joe Montana.
Yeah,
everybody heard that,
some
right?
Of the greatest athletes, some of the greatest athletes of all time are crap human beings. Just look at Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant. So
yeah, this is true.
This is true.
So, but I'm going to pick the Pack. And you know, the other thing Austin said, he was talking about, Rodgers drawing up plays on his hands, and the one thing I do find it's hilarious to watch him do, and he did it the first play of the game against Dallas. He goes out there and counts the amount of defensive players, and then right when they're ready to do a substitution, every stinking time he hikes the calls for the hike, and they get him off. You know, they get him too many guys on the field, and it's a penalty. He's so good at doing that, and he did it quite a few times. But I laughed because it was the very first play of the game for the Packers, and it was hilarious. So, no,
Is sneaky.
Yeah, he is way sneaky, and no, I like that. The Packers in that game, I think Aaron Rodgers is too much to overcome for Atlanta.
Well, you got to give a little bit of credit to the kicker.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was a phenomenal performance. What, he hit a 56-yarder?
Yep.
And a 51 or 52 to win it.
And he did it after being iced in the game once too.
As far as soccer players playing football go, great job. Yeah.
Okay, I was going to bring this up, but Austin kind of beat me to it. I was going to ask, who is the best quarterback in the NFL right now? Is it Aaron Rodgers or is it Tom Brady? Or is there someone else that you guys like? It sounds like we've got someone who's a Tom Brady hater, but will respect his game.
Yeah. The way I go about these things is you've got one game and you have to win, it's the Super Bowl. Who are you wanting at quarterback? And this weekend, you could take any of these guys and you could make an argument for any of them, including Matt Ryan, especially this season. But greatness, legend, legacy, Tom Brady is the guy I'm putting in there 100 times out of 100. So I go with Tom Brady.
And you go Super Bowl resumes, and Tom Brady has what, 4? And Aaron Rodgers has 2?
Oh, why? Yeah.
You know, if Tom Brady wins this year, he will, never mind. You're telling me why, I won't say it. Never mind.
John?
I hope he just rides off into the sunset.
John, answer the question.
Sorry.
Brady.
All right. There we go.
Really?
You're not going to go Brady. You're going to go Rodgers.
I'm going to go Rodgers.
Is this because of your hate for Brady because you're a Denver fan, or is this because you really believe Rodgers is better?
That may have something to do with it. I may be a little biased because I like Peyton Manning as a person, and
Here, here.
As a football player.
Then I'm calling you out on your bias.
Okay, Rodgers, you have to look at this. Rodgers has been clutch. But just think about this season. What was it? 24 touchdowns between his interceptions, which, if I recall, is the second highest in NFL history. And to put that into perspective, Dak Prescott, who is one of your contenders for Offensive Rookie of the Year, and who took Dallas to what? They lost one game, I think.
They lost two.
Did they lose
both of them to the Giants?
That's right. Yes. Two
they were resting guys for that second loss.
He had 24 this season, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So put that in perspective. Think about that for a minute.
But I'm also going to point out and put in perspective that both of these quarterbacks we're talking about have taken charge of their team without either one of them ever really having a dominant running back on their team.
You know what?
Never.
You know what?
And they both have done phenomenal jobs without it.
Aaron Rodgers does not have to deflate his balls to win.
Oh, boy. All right.
The other team's playbook.
Or spy on the other team's practices.
Okay.
Yeah.
Deflategate has made enough of an entrance in this. Let's move on. Next, Devin's quick hit. We're done with that.
We're just going to stop quick hitting. Let's go to pop culture.
All right. That's it for quick hits then?
That's it.
All right. Let's jump into pop culture. All right. John. So what do we want to talk about in pop culture this week? You talked about some movies. We are going to reserve some questions for Austin at the end to tell us, but because we always ask our guests. But let's talk movies first. What did you see that you wanted to talk about?
Ah, yes. I saw two movies this week, trying to get as many of the Oscar hopefuls in as I can before nominations are announced. I saw Moonlight, which won the Golden Globe for Best Drama. Really good movie. It's all about this kid named Chiron, and you see him at different points in his life. You see him at age 9, age 16, and age 26. It's a differently paced movie than your normal fare. But it was really good at embodying this character. And even though the actors don't necessarily look alike, they all still feel like the same character. They did a really good job, I thought, of making sure their performances was a solid through line. But basically, you have this kid who he has no father. His mother's a drug. And he finds a father figure in her drug dealer. And even though he's a drug dealer, in many other ways of his life, he seems like a decent guy. And so he kind of latches onto him as a father figure, but he's also a boy that's not very athletic, and wonders if he's gay. And then you find when we go to the 16-year-old self that he actually is, but you know he's going to stay closeted because he lives in a rough part of Miami. And you see him dealing with that at 16, and then you see where he winds up at age 26, and it's a very, very interesting character study.
And the movie's called Moonlight.
I really liked it. Moonlight.
Okay.
That one is surely going to be nominated for Best Picture, and I do think it has an outside chance of winning. Probably wouldn't be my pick, but I think it would be in my top 10. So yeah, it's really good. The other one I saw was Silence, directed by Martin Scorsese. This is based on a 1966 novel, and it felt like it was based on a book and not necessarily in a good way. The first half is really good, really beautiful. They filmed mostly in Taiwan to make it look like Japan, but you have all these great landscapes. Scorsese's always had a good eye for location and shot construction. It's about these two Jesuit priests in 1640 who go to Japan because they heard that their old mentor, who's been out there for a few years, has left the church. And so they want to go find him. And at this time, Christianity was illegal in Japan. So you could be tortured or killed for being Christian. So they have to hide. And so they find secret Christians who help keep them hidden while they're trying to figure out where their mentor is. The second half of the movie, the main character, Father Rodriguez, he's played by Andrew Garfield, who was the Spider-Man. He was the amazing. He was after Tobey Maguire, but before Tom Holland.
Oh, okay.
He was also in Hacksaw Ridge earlier this year. He was really good in Hacksaw Ridge. I didn't think he quite had the acting chops to pull this off. And the second half of the movie is a lot of him struggling while he watches other people be tortured. And it got kind of repetitive for me. And so he'll like watch someone get tortured, and then the head inquisitor guy, they'll have some philosophical discussion about religion and about, you know, what's the difference between religion and just a culture. And it felt like there was some interesting stuff they could have done if they had paced it better, but the way they did it, it just felt like I was going back and forth between torture scene, philosophical discussion, torture scene, philosophical discussion, torture scene. And so by the end, I just had a bad taste in my mouth. I just, the last half hour, probably, I thought they could have done in 10 minutes. And, you know, if I'm getting that impatient at the end of a movie, it's probably not a good sign.
Sadly, so I'm not even intrigued by this
movie. I came away disappointed.
You've shut me down on this one. But
I feel like it actually made me want to read the book, but I just didn't enjoy the movie experience.
Well, that tells me I'll never want to see it then, because you started talking about him watching torture. I'm like, this doesn't even sound like something I care for. All right, that's good. So you say yes to Moonlight, no to Silence, right?
Yep.
Austin, I know you save a lot of what you do for Movie Zone, but anything you've seen in the last week or so you've really enjoyed?
Well, I want to echo what John said about Moonlight with one difference. I think it is my Oscar pick for Best Picture. It's an incredible movie, and I like the whole story, and I hope that things like this come out more and more, because it's not the cookie cutter gay kid coming into his own through life. It's an actual real emotional tough movie to watch, and a tough journey to take with this kid. And I really, really hope that it more things like this open a lot more people's eyes and hearts to understanding and acceptance. And then I did see Silence as well, and I thought, John, that Silence seemed like they ran out of story. Like they told the story in the first hour of the movie, or hour and a half, and or hour and 10 minutes, really. And then they were like, oh, this is too short. We got to add some more torture scenes. So that's kind of the feeling I got was, all right, you're just wasting everyone's time now. You can end it anytime you want. So, but I didn't think it was a horrible movie. So I would definitely give both of them a go.
All right.
Yeah, I know I'm in the minority on Silence. It's an 84% at Rotten Tomatoes. But I can't say I enjoyed it. And I walked out of there going, I don't know what I thought about it. And about 10 minutes later, I was like, no, I didn't like it.
And actually, let me add one thing. Andrew Garfield, not my cup of tea. Not a big fan of Andrew Garfield. Didn't like the Superman or the Spider-Man. And really, truly, his accent in Hacksaw Ridge played with my mind. I didn't like it at all. So I'm not an Andrew Garfield fan. I think the best thing that he's done in his life is date Sabrina from Raising Hope and Shannon Woodward. And that's all he's good for to me. So there you go.
Oh, I really liked him in Hacksaw Ridge. But when you said accent, I thought I didn't really like his faux Portuguese accent in Silence.
True. Yeah. He needs to understand he's not an accent actor. You just got to. I mean, Tom Cruise played a samurai, and he didn't have an accent, so there you go.
But there are, and that said, there are some actors out there that can pull off the accent really well. So, you know, but you're right. Maybe some of these guys aren't very good at it.
So. Well, it was a weird choice from the movie. I mean, it's going to be in English, but Adam Driver and Liam Neeson are all playing guys from Portugal. Mm. And Adam Driver and Andrew Garfield both had this weird Portuguese-esque accent. And then when they finally run into Liam Neeson, he's just Liam Neeson. He doesn't even try to have this.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, yep. I don't know what they're doing.
It's like, no, you're still sounding like Schindler. What are you doing here?
So I will say, and I know you both have seen this already, I took the family out on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, of course, to see Hidden Figures.
I loved it. Yeah.
And in fact, we left the movie theater, and my wife and I looked at each other like, that was fantastic. Emotionally charged, just there was so much good in it. You know, I shed a tear in a few parts during it too, because I really thought it was good. The scene where Kevin Costner knocked down the bathroom sign.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's emotional, yeah.
What did he say when he walked away? He's like, we all pee the same. And it was like, it, you know, as funny as a statement as that is, like, it fit in that scene so well that I'm just like, okay, I just got the chills, because you have to realize the background of Hidden Figures, the fact that it covers two areas, one, racism, and two, women in the workplace. And I thought it handled it so well. And by the way, it's 1961, where neither one is really recognized as a very prominent figure, right? Just the way Kevin Costner handled it, there were some parts, some scenes later in the scene. My wife told me she shed a tear when the marriage proposal came around. But there are just different aspects of the movie that really hit you right where the feels matter. So it was really, I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's worth the price of admission a couple times, in my opinion. It's a great movie.
I would agree. Yeah. So, all right. Devin, you see anything recently?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. So, Austin, let's go to the questions I wanted to ask you. We ask all of our guests two questions. Mm-hmm. One, their favorite movie of all time, and two, their favorite TV show or series of either all time or that they're watching now. I mean, you can pick or choose on that one, but let's hear it.
Yeah. Well, good grief. I'm going to have to take a bit of a fence position here, because I have three categories. I have my serious, my funny, and my sports related. And my serious movie, maybe my favorite movie of all time, if I had to choose so that the puppies in the world wouldn't drown, I would choose The Shawshank Redemption as my favorite movie of all time. That would be my serious pick. My funny pick is Dumb and Dumber. I don't think it gets better, or it gets better every single time you watch it. And my favorite sports-related movie, The Sandlot. So
nice.
There's the movie questions. Now, as far as TV goes, thank goodness for Netflix, because there's so many TV shows that no one really has the time for, but are worthy of, you know, binge fests. And so recently my wife and I mentioned it a few minutes ago, Raising Hope, the old Fox sitcom. We've been watching that, and I've gotten back into Prison Break because there's a new season coming out, I think, this summer. But my favorite TV show of all time, Boy Meets World, and it's not even close. Boy Meets World is the penultimate TV show of all time, and I don't care if anyone makes fun of me or teases me for it. But that thing is like the gospel. It's like the gospel of Austin Horton. That show is incredible.
Austin,
and then followed by The Office and Seinfeld.
So, Austin, yeah. I have one thing to say to that. And that is Mr. Feeney!
So I enjoyed that show a lot too. I have to ask you, did you watch the follow-up series that Disney's done the last couple of years, Girl Meets World?
I will completely be honest with you. I started the pilot episode and got about 4 minutes into it and wanted to puke. And so, no, I didn't watch Girl Meets World. I thought it was a bastardization in the kindest way I could say it, of Boy Meets World. And it can go die in a fire heap.
And I will not let my daughter nor my wife nor my any of my kids hear this show now because of that. No, my 13-year-old fell in love with the show, and we've actually taken her back and watched Boy Meets World. But my kids and my wife loved it.
Good.
When they heard the news 2 weeks ago or a week ago, whenever it was, that it will not be renewed, my 13-year-old daughter was pretty much in a depressed state for the rest of the day. So she enjoyed it. I actually thought it was pretty good, and it was nice bringing back the original cast from Boy Meets World to carry on with this as well.
And here's what you do, Alan. Here's you solve that problem. You buy the complete series of Boy Meets World on DVD.
Right? Yes.
You let her watch it. It's going to take some time, so she'll be happy about that. And then when she's upset and crying at the end of it, you can give it to me. Because I, like Austin, absolutely love Boy Meets World. That is like the show of my childhood.
Oh, I loved it too. Don't get me. I loved it. I really did.
Because I always wanted to be the cool guy like Sean. Mm-hmm. But you wanted to be funny like Eric. But deep down, I really am that awkward, hopeless romantic Corey Matthews. That is who I am.
Did you two have a crush on Topanga?
Oh, come on. I mean, that you, what do you mean had a crush on Topanga?
Okay, still I have a crush on Topanga.
Yeah. My sleep shirt says my heart belongs to Topanga, and I don't know how conducive it is to things in the bedroom with my wife, but that's just what I wear to bed. Okay, leave me alone.
You know what Topanga rhymes with? I don't know. I don't think it rhymes with anything. I was just saying that then, this is a family show.
This show suddenly went from family to PG-13 rating. We better watch out or I'll be putting an explicit rating on it. Come on now.
Oh, I apologize. Yeah.
Is it getting hot in here? Or is it just Topanga?
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Yep. All right. Anything else you want to add to this, John?
I was on my mission when the show debuted. I never really watched it.
Well, I was too. I didn't watch it. I binge watched it when I got home. That's what I'm saying. I was on my mission at the same time you were almost. I mean, you were a year ahead
That's
of me.
True. I don't know. I just never had a desire.
All right. We're going to find a week where we're all going to hang out and watch Boy Meets World.
Yeah, we're having a binge watching party. Jedi and Germs and Austin is invited. We're watching Boy Meets World.
Well, listen, guys, I have I have two copies of every season on DVD. I'm not exaggerating. Because if one ever broke, I'm not making this up. If one ever broke, I wanted to have a backup. So I've got two of every season. So,
all right, that's
how I am donate with Firefly. To Devin.
What's that, John? Yeah.
I said that's how I am with Firefly.
Well, good. Then I have fuel to add to the fire because no surprise here. Alan has, you know, I have that with Star Wars. So, you know, no surprise there. But my wife constantly reminds me, can we sell your copies? You have like 3 or 4 copies of each movie. Can we sell one? I go, no, don't touch them or I'll break fingers. No, don't touch. So
Boy Meets World, the complete series available on Amazon for $59.99.
There you go. Just worth every penny.
Throwing that out there. I need to get my credit card out, so let's wrap this show up.
All right. Let's wrap it up. We want to thank you, Austin, for joining us on Jedi and Germs. I think I can speak for all three of it. We've really enjoyed this. And we appreciate you coming on and honoring us with your presence and having a little fun with us tonight.
Absolutely, guys, and I mean this. It's an honor. I've listened for a long time, and I really have wondered at many a late night. Wonder if they'll ever notice that I've not been joined, or I've not joined them. So, dream come true, and I, in all honesty and seriousness, I appreciate it. It's fun.
No, like I said, we appreciate it very much, and we appreciate all that you do at 1280, and we, you know, and I appreciate the opportunities I have to see and talk to you and we appreciate you, Austin. You do great. You do great. I enjoy listening to the big show. I enjoy listening to the rewind show. I enjoy listening to the movie zone. So, and of course the Saturday show. So no, everybody, if you're not listening, go check it out. Austin does great work.
And Austin, tell them again where they can find you on Twitter and when and where to listen.
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter at Austin Horton. Horton like the elephant, of course, so at Austin Horton. And then the Saturday show is Saturdays, obviously, from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. on 1280 AM, 97.5 FM, followed by the Movie Zone at 4 p.m., although we also have the Movie Zone running on Thursdays at 7, Saturdays at 4, and Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. And the Big Show, 3 to 7 every weekday on 1280 97.5 The Zone.
once in a while too, have I not heard you do a little producing time on Saturday morning for the car show?
Yeah, until about a month ago, I produced the Utah Car Sense presented by Mark Miller Subaru for the last 2.5, almost 3 years. But recently, with the extra hour added to the Saturday show, I gave that up to your good friend and my good friend Ajay Salveson to get him a little more time on the board. So,
shout out to Ajay, we love you.
It's a great, to work with a radio legend like Tom Barbieri has been just a blessing and a treat, and he's just an awesome guy. So, yeah, but I did that for a while too.
Awesome. All right. Thank you all for listening. Thanks again to Austin. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, Jedi and Germs. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher, Jedi and Germs. We can't, again, emphasize enough, please leave us a review on iTunes for our show. It is helpful. Check us out on blogtalkradio.com/Jedi and Germs. And of course, at our home, tornbysports.com. We thank you all for listening. Join us next week for another great show. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.